On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Audio Whiplash, episode one. My name is Matt Robinson, and I'm sitting here with Rob Christie, who no doubt will be a fairly large contributing part of this as we move forward. How's it going?
Very well, thank you.
So this is hopefully going to be the flagship of what we're launching on May 15th, which is today, so when this will be posted. And it'll kind of be a free-flowing sort of affair in that it won't really have a specific topic like the other one. Tall Can Audio is our second, Tall Can Sports is our second show that's going to launch on the Tall Can Audio Network. We're hoping to obviously add more as we move forward. This will be just kind of whatever is topical at the time. And I just kind of wanted to do episode one as sort of an explanation of how we got here. And the thing that I keep hearkening back to is anyone who was a fan of the Newsroom will especially remember, but there's an old country song from 1969 called How I Got to Memphis, where Memphis represents where I am right now. That's how we got here. So, for a long time, I had an interest in broadcasting. Quite frankly, when I was a teenager, I thought I was going to be the next Bob McCowan. That was my goal. That's where I wanted to be. And I ended up going through broadcast school for that. And then ended up, you know, with a couple of, you know, different either internships or part-time gigs at radio stations, things like that. And, you know, there's no ego here. It hasn't panned out for a multitude of different reasons. But as I sat back and watched where the industry was going, like they told us on day one of broadcast school, the radio is not a growing industry, right? So, but it's become clearer and clearer as we move forward that things are moving towards a different format, a different, people don't want to be dictated to anymore. And there's choice now. You can have whatever you want to hear sent right to your phone in your car and listen to that. You don't have to be told anymore, right? And that sort of thing really appeals to me. There's no formatting. There's no thanking these people. There's no being loyal to these people. There's no code of conduct. There's no, you say what you want to say, and if people like it, they'll listen, and if they don't, they won't. And to me, that's the truest form of what broadcasting should be, and I think that's dying right now in the current mainstream radio format. So that's kind of how I ended up doing what I'm doing now. We're hoping that it grows into something, you know, obviously larger than what it starts as, but worst case scenario is it's a hobby, and my desire to be a broadcaster continues to grow, and you know, we're getting on board with something that continues to grow on the internet all the time. You also ended up going to broadcast school and didn't end up following through on that, right?
Yes, you know, excuse me, listening to you talk about that, when did you go to school?
I did broadcast school from 05 to 07.
Yeah, see, so I enrolled in 93, and they told us at that time, at a fairly reputable program, they said 100% higher rate out of this program. Yeah, grads highly sought after, and there were people who did, you know, summer work for TSN. There was a lot of stuff. Near the end of my first year, I looked at people, they were going to Hamilton to apply for part-time jobs. They're just, the work wasn't there. And so to see you a full decade and a bit later, still dealing with those, them selling that as a, yeah, it was dying to me then, right? And honestly, when I was there, and part of the reason I left it was very much still hands-on, the splicing, all that stuff. And I just thought, oh, the amount of work I have to put into this, it was not for me. And it seemed to be the pyramid for the industry was the people that was very wide base, very, very small at the top, right? And the people at the very top were getting paid big money with this huge base was making peanuts, right? And so, yeah, to me at that time, I thought, I don't know. And really, you know what I wanted to do? Very similar to you. I wanted to be in sports, right? And I remember in my first year of broadcast school, they had a course, which was sports broadcasting, right? And so very first day they said to us, how many people want to be involved in sports, right? And there was, 40 people in the class, right? And maybe, you know, six or seven of us put our hands up. He said, that's about right. He said, that is 20% of the population is interested in sports, which seemed ridiculously low to me, seeing as how it's such a huge part of my life, right? That you'd look and say, only 20%? But that's what I want to do. I want to be involved in sports. And I guess worst case scenario, I would love to have been Johnny Big Voice, do a little music. I wasn't interested in all the production and everything else that went on, and it seemed to be so labor intensive.
Oh, absolutely. And it just seems like, to me, one of the appeals of sport was when you listen to, for me growing up in the GTA, was the Fan 590, you were getting so much opinion. And yeah, it was on sports, but when you sit back and, you know, I don't know how much people know about the radio industry or whatever, like, it's extremely form fit. You know, when first break, you're supposed to just identify the station, and then your second break, you'll talk about something topical in the area. The third break is this, and maybe weather, and the fourth break is now, you know, a promotion that the station has. There's very little personality to it. Now, you have to have some personality, obviously, to be able to do it, to do those jobs, but in terms of it being your own views and your own opinions, that's the opportunity for that is pretty limited, right? And maybe it's ego or whatever, but when you get into it, you're getting into it probably to be heard, right? And to say something. So to me, sports was a way to do that. And, you know, it was on a certain topic.
And you know what? Anybody, anybody who's been through broadcast school or whatever, and they understand that's how your teachers are selling it to you, that you have to fit into this. And it's so funny that you would say, you know, in the first break, you're going to do this in the second break. So, and again, anybody who's familiar, first year students dealt with the in-school radio station. Second year students got to run one that went out into the greater public in the area, right? And so you would have this, we'd have to do our news breaks, right? And not just news, it was news, right? You got to really hit the nasal sound, right? And there was this little script saying, right now in blank, it is blank degrees, and blah, and you do this whole thing. And so I'm doing this again in first year, my news break, and I'm hitting them with an, I'm Rob Christie, and right now in blank, it is a balmy 3 degrees, right? And so, and I had written that down, right? Like, I'm clever. Balmy gets 3 degrees is obviously not balmy, but in our Friday morning wrap up, our news week wrap up, you know, the guy in charge of the news portion holds up this script and says, who did this? 3 degrees is not balmy. This is serious business. And, you know, and I did not raise my hand to say, yeah, that was me. But that's exactly what you're talking about. And in terms of evolution and why one is dying and one is not, the idea that we could do something like this is so separate from that. And people, you know, you want that, you can hit news wherever you need it, right? But, and information should be free flowing, and it should have some personality. You're not CNN, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it, it was always kind of a, you know, the saving grace for local radio was local news and local weather, right? You can't get that on the internet. Well, most people can now turn and in 3 seconds, you know, especially if you have an iPhone or something, ask your phone what the current temperature is or what the current headlines are. It's that sort of era of, I have to listen to this local guy to get what's happening. Well, not really anymore, right? And so you can kind of just pick and choose what you like and what you don't like. And like you said, to me, that's an extremely refreshing sort of, I just think the whole, I want to be very careful because obviously having gone to broadcast school, I have some friends that are in the industry and that frankly are doing a good job. I don't blame the talent that's doing it. I just think the model is so horribly broken that it's the same across television. It's, you know, one of the best examples for me that, you know, episode one, season one of the show 24, when it debuted in maybe 2004 or something like that, the first thing that you see was, this episode is brought to you commercial free by Ford. And then it was 60 minutes of what you wanted to watch.
You know, but you were blasted by Ford nonstop throughout the show, right? They're all driving Fords.
Everyone in Los Angeles where it was set was driving a Ford, right? So there is that to it, but it's less in your face, right? It's less, we're going to stop what you actually tuned in to see for 30 seconds to 2 minutes to whatever to tell you, go buy this, right? Which is just...
Well, in the grand scheme of things, exactly what we're talking about here, whether it's a podcast, whether it's an online blog, whether it's satellite radio, whether it's even on your traditional television with PBRing, you know, the whole idea of, yeah, you know what? All the information that you think you're going to provide in between what I actually want to listen to, I can get that wherever I want to get that, right? I don't need to sit through whatever it is it's paying you that I'm going to have to be totally blasted with. If I want, I'll just skip through the commercials. I'll avoid it. I'll get what I need where I need it. And if I'm looking for that information, I'll find it. I don't need you to hammer me with it.
When even you know, you start talking about the television industry's much the same issues they have. You know, on demand for a while was the greatest new thing. You know, I can watch the show when I want. I can rewind things if I need to. It's great for sports, that sort of thing. When you go to watch things on demand now, half the time you get a little announcement that says the fast forward function has been disabled. But come on. That was half the appeal, but you still got to show me your, and I get it. That's how you're paying for things. But to me, that model, like I said, is dead. That's why people are cutting cable and watching Netflix and things like that. Like, YouTube is another interesting example.
I was going to say, do you know anybody who hates to see those ads that used to be, I'd love to go on YouTube and you'd go, I'm looking for this, whatever. And you hit it and you go, oh, well, I got to be exposed to this 35 second. I'm here because I don't want to hear your commercials.
And when it started, it was hip and it was cool. And that's where people were going to find what they wanted and to watch what they wanted was YouTube. It was this haven from being bombarded on television. And then they start to insert their own little commercials because that's how you make money on it. No, you've now irritated everyone, just like the TV companies. And they announced a couple of weeks ago that by the end of the year, they will have a subscription-based model that removes the ads, which clearly, and everyone has known for months and months and months since they started the ads, that was the end game, right? We'll give you these so they annoy the crap out of you. And then we'll tell you, but for $6 or $10 or whatever it's going to be a month, we'll take them away for you. And I just don't think people were stupid enough to need to be irritated first. Just tell them, we're putting these in, you can avoid them for this, right?
And but again, that's, you're always going to get that certain segment of the population. And you and I think both fall in the same category. I'd rather pay a little bit of something to avoid the nuisance that is that.
Right.
But there is a big chunk of the population who's going to say, I am way too cheap or tight. I'll sit through that.
Sure. But the option, that's all I'm saying. Or you could have presented the option right up front and rather than just infuriate people. And you became just as bad as what you were trying to be the alternative to.
Well, sometimes when you want to really force the lemmings to move forward, you have to irritate or aggravate them and say, yeah, see, oh, okay, this is what's going to happen. You know what? I hate that.
Yeah.
I got to pay to not have to do
that.
You
sat here and watched me hate that.
Right? I have sat here and watched you rage. And you know what? And honestly, it has the skip where you can't listen to 5 seconds of that. And you are, I get that. And you are at that far end of the spectrum. Whereas I've been on YouTube and I see one of those ads and I'm listening to this guy and something piques my interest, right? and you look at it and go, it's a 4.5 minute ad. Right. And a couple of them I've listened to. Now I've never ever once clicked on it on that, or I've never ever said, yeah, go to my website. And I was like, I'm going to get scared. Something's going to happen to me if I go, I'm not really sure. But you know, there have been a couple things, but yeah, I know you are at that far end of the spectrum.
I'm far too furious to hear what's even being said to me or what you're trying to sell me. I've lost it, and I am waiting for the first second I can click.
Not only am I seeing red, I'm hearing red as well. I am furious with this.
Right.
Yes, we've all been there for that.
So, I mean, to me, that's sort of, to circle back to, you know, to what we're starting up here, and this, like, this being episode one, Audio Whiplash, that all kind of harkens back to this, a little inside story on the Audio Whiplash thing started with just my somewhat
diverse.
Yeah, we'll call it diverse.
Yes.
Music collection that, you'll be listening to, maybe an old Rage Against the Machine tune, and then it's into the Tootsie Roll.
Always a personal favorite of mine.
Maybe Tupac follows up or something. And at some point we just dropped the line Audio Whiplash, and then that'd be a great band name and all these sorts of things.
I'd see that band. How that came. Yeah. I would see that band, Audio Whiplash.
Yeah. So, that was kind of where the name came from and whatever, but it just seemed fairly appropriate to what I'm hoping this becomes in terms of being so different from, what we've talked about and what we've been through in terms of this model. This is going to be extremely casual, my favorite podcasts are people who just sit back and talk, right? It just, what turned me on to podcasting was one called Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. And I absolutely hated history class in school. I kind of understood it, but it just always seemed so dull. And now I voluntarily sit down every time he puts out one and listen. It's all about the presentation. It's all about, he's just talking to you. He's not dictating to you.
Well, right? And you know what? And so you've now brought this right into my wheelhouse, right? Because not only the two things leaving high school, the two things I wanted to do, one was I wanted to be in broadcast. The other thing was I wanted to teach history. And I've loved history forever, right? And to me, there's so much, but I love what I love, right?
Yeah.
And what happens is, in the way they teach that is, as you say, it's presentation. Do you need to do grade 10 history where they pound you with 2 months of the Great Depression? Like, honestly, that's what you're left with. I am greatly depressed. I'm greatly depressed with that. I can't hear too much about the Bennett buggy and Dust Bowl and the March
plan.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's an American thing,
but
we won't get involved in that. Right. I was trying to keep this, the Winnipeg General Strike. This is where I was trying to go with the whole thing.
Like, but I said, I wasn't paying attention.
Okay. Exactly. Clearly. But see, I knew that if I could teach history, that I could deliver it, even somewhat building a sod house on the prairies, right? As a good pioneer, I could deliver that in a way that kids would not go, oh my God, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. No, okay. It's delivery, as you say.
Yeah. And the other one that I, to bring it was, is one called Smodcast, Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier. If you're a fan of some of their old movie Clerks and those, some of those older movies. They now have a podcast that comes out, and it's basically the two of them are just sitting around getting high and talking about whatever is in the news or whatever atrocity they've seen on television or whatever.
And the word atrocity is relative, right? Well, like my idea of that's atrocious. Atrocity is relevant, right?
I chose the word carefully. I'm happy with it.
Okay, I get it. I'm just saying, what's an atrocity to Smith and Mosier is probably different than what's an atrocity to most people.
The last one of theirs that I listened to, they found a Twitter account called ScanBC, which was just, here's different places, different little news items across British Columbia. And it turned into a discussion, and they're laughing, and the entire time they're just getting hired in a kite. You can hear them smoking and whatever.
And I can guarantee you they talked about bigamy somewhere
in
southeastern British Columbia. I can almost guarantee you. Sorry for anybody listening out in BC, but that's the truth.
So it's just, that's fun to me. That's interesting, right? It's just, it's guys hanging out, and I have a couple shows that are like that. That they're not a straight interview format. They're not whatever. It's just, it's interesting to listen to. It's fun. You kind of relate to some of the stories. And so that's kind of what we're looking to do here. And, to bring it full circle. I think episode two is going to be a rundown of a Tragically Hip concert we just saw, just because, you know, I think across Canada, obviously a lot of people relate to that. It was interesting to us. It was a fun night. It was, and you know what? Yeah. And if it spins off into other things, I'm totally happy with that. That's what we're, you know, that's what it's about. No one sits down with a friend and says, let's talk about just this for the next hour. You just follow the conversation, see where it goes. And in this format, you have the freedom to do it. And to me, that's what makes it so exciting. And I think that's why it's where the future is, right? And to just know that I like this show and I don't have to do anything to go find it. I have to pull out my phone and the most recent show is just there and I can turn it on whenever I want, pause it whenever I want, come back to it whenever I want.
Well, and the beauty of what you're talking about, whether it's that Smodcast with Smith and Mosier or whether it's sports radio and you're listening to it, is you're listening to that and you're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Or Do you have no idea? And it's that really about you're exchanging ideas,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And that is the beauty of the format. There's probably some people who've listened to this and are yelling those things at their device that they're listening on.
They're
right
wrong.
Now.
They're wrong, though. That's how that goes.
So, I mean, I think that's the beauty of it. And that's what we're hoping to do. So, today is launch day. Everything should be up and running. It's, Tall Can Audio on Facebook and at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, tallcanaudio.com. It's all over the web. Check it out.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at Tall Can Audio.